When I lived in India, and I lived there for 35 years, I did not realize how kind and hospitable the Indian people are. Now that I visit home a couple of times a year, it strikes me that I come from a very hospitable culture. And I experienced that hospitality yet again on this last trip. As we moved my mom from her home to be with my brother and my niece's family in another state. So there was much travel, and throughout all the travels, the transition and the move, people's care and respect for the elderly, my mom is 87, truly touched me deeply. Mom was treated with such care and regard that now I believe that she could have traveled alone and have reached home safe. From strangers rushing to offer us a hand, to people going out of their way to help, it was a heartwarming, reassuring, uplifting, encouraging, and a moving experience. As I'm saying this today, there are some things that define our humanity. In other words, there are some things that are integral to us being human persons, right? There are some things that define our humanity. Kindness, goodness, hospitality, generosity, these are just some of them. Today's first and gospel readings tell us stories of hospitality, of kindness, of goodness, and of generosity. I'm saying these themes connect us to our humanity. So in my 3 points today, I want to reflect on these themes. First of all, let me talk about hospitality in today's scriptures. Our first reading from the book of Kings is a heartwarming story. The prophet Elisha was used to passing through the town of Shunem on the way to Mount Carmel. Scripture does not tell us her name, but a wealthy and well-known Shunammite woman showed this prophet great hospitality along the way. But it's not just about hospitality. It's about extraordinary hospitality. In the beginning, she invites him to have dinner with her. But then as time goes by, she, along with her husband, built him a room so that he would find a place to rest on his journeys back and forth. And this woman did all this without any expectations. However, ultimately, she was rewarded for her extraordinary hospitality. She and her husband were blessed with a child they always wanted. In today's gospel reading too, Jesus stresses the value of hospitality. Jesus says, whoever gives a cup of cold water, just a cup of cold water, to one of these little ones to drink because the little one is a disciple, will surely not lose his reward. Now granted that Jesus was talking about hospitality within the tradition, in other words, he was talking about hospitality to his disciples. Historically, we have to remember that the focus of hospitality towards disciples was because Matthew was writing at a time when persecution was rife. He was hoping to provide respite to the beleaguered disciples of Christ. Nevertheless, Christ's call to kindness and hospitality is amply made clear in this passage. let me say this as a caveat, that both the instances of hospitality in today's scripture reading are instances of hospitality within the tradition, right? So this Shunammite woman, she was being hospitable to the prophet Elisha within the tradition, and so also Jesus' call to be hospitable to the disciples. But the larger teaching of the Judeo-Christian scriptures does not limit hospitality to people within the tradition. In the Old Testament, hospitality towards strangers was incorporated into the Mosaic law. Moses told the people, remember that you were aliens once, and so when aliens come your way, you will be hospitable towards them. It's ingrained in the law. In Matthew's gospel, from which we read today, Matthew says, whatever you do to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do it to me. The greatest story of hospitality we have is one in the Gospel of Luke, the Good Samaritan. In other words, hospitality and kindness and goodness and generosity towards others are meant to be the hallmark of a Christian disciple, both to people within the tradition and outside the tradition. So that's my first point. Let me talk about the global reality that we are facing today in my second point. As opposed to the gospel call, there is a narrative that exists today that focuses on the us versus them. There is citizen versus immigrant, black versus white, rich versus poor, traditionalist versus progressive, conservative versus liberal, even male versus female. Folks, I believe that something integrally human is lost when we imagine life in this way, as us versus them, that we lose something integral to our humanity. When we do this, we forget that which is common to us all. And what is common? We are all human. We are all God's children. We all have the same basic needs. We all seek to live in freedom and peace and hope. Perhaps you are aware of the tragedy of the fishing boat filled with migrants that sank off the coast of Greece just a few weeks back. More than 600 people, at least 100 of whom were children, drowned in one of the biggest immigrant tragedies. There were 750 people crammed into that fishing boat. Human smugglers were exploiting the anguish of these desperate people as they packed them into a fishing boat ill-fit for human voyage. Now, the us versus them narrative might make us think of these immigrants as aliens, as illegals, as reckless people. But I want you to hear the story of a Syrian man on that boat. He undertook this terribly risky voyage for the sake of his 4-year-old son, who's dying of cancer. His 4-year-old son desperately needs a bone marrow transplant. He was hoping to make it to land, make a little money, and send it back to save his son. Well, he did not make land. His wife is now left alone, not only to make the funeral arrangement for her now dead husband, but now by herself to save their precious son's life. And I bet you this, if I could bring that man here and he could stand and make an appeal to this congregation on behalf of his 4-year-old son, I bet that each one of us would do our best to help this man. Why? Because now we know the story behind this man who got on that wreck, on that risky journey. When we hear the individual stories of desperate people, we get a whole new perspective. People who might we might otherwise reject. Unfortunately, it has become so common to villainize immigrants, villainize people we disagree with, paint those different from us in a negative light, and to look at people outside our country, our culture, our religion as undesirable people. It's just become the common narrative. And against this us versus them narrative, today's scripture readings invite us to think differently. They invite us to focus on kindness, on goodness, on hospitality, and on generosity. So in my third point, I would like to propose the alternative narrative. I begin with this question. Why did the world not give the poor, desperate, and exploited immigrants on that fishing boat the same attention and care as the five people on that Titanic sub that imploded? Why did we not care for these 750 people on that boat, the same care and attention that we gave five people who were at the bottom of the sea on a tourism trip? The five people on the sub died too. When the victims of the immigrant boat tragedy and the Titanic sub implosion stand before God, will there be two lines? How does God see lives that could have been saved by human kindness versus the lives that were lost because of human neglect? As one of the survivors of the boat tragedy said, "We thought they would rescue us, but instead they sank the boat." I'm addressing you not just as ordinary folks, I'm addressing you as followers of Jesus Christ. Folks, we must create a different narrative, an alternative narrative. My dear people, not merely for people within our tradition, our culture, our nationality, our way of thinking, but every human person, immaterial of their race, religion, nationality, status, gender, or sexual orientation, deserves our kindness, goodness, hospitality, and understanding. But I'm not talking generally. I'm talking that just as the Shunammite woman went beyond expectation to be kind to Elisha, I'm proposing that we too go beyond the normal expectations. I'm not proposing that we merely do not give in to the us versus them narrative. That itself would be great if we don't give in to the us versus them narrative. But I'm proposing that we go beyond our limits to be kind and hospitable. I'm proposing that we do not make judgments without getting to know people and to hear their stories. Like that Syrian man, once you know his story, it's a different relationship. So I'm proposing, let's not judge people without getting to know them and their stories. I'm proposing that we stop villainizing immigrants, that we open our lives to those who need us, and that we offer kindness to those on the periphery. If we do so, I believe that our eternal reward lies with God. What is the narrative you are creating? When you stand before God, what will be your legacy? Will it be us versus them? or will it be a legacy of limitless kindness, goodness, hospitality, and generosity? Every Eucharist is an experience of God's hospitality, of God's kindness, of God's goodness, of God's generosity. Remember, not one of us, not one of us, I'm a priest, you are baptized Christians, not one of us is worthy of God's goodness and kindness. The reason why we have salvation is because God is good and kind and generous and hospitable. And if today we are here to experience God's generosity and hospitality, then I hope that we too will then show the same goodness and kindness and hospitality and generosity to those in need. I believe this is a Christian calling. People of God said,